Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
In recent years, Cork City has experienced a number of incidents where parts of buildings have fallen onto public footpaths or have fallen into dangerous disrepair. Well, with the city on track to be the fastest growing in Ireland for the next two decades, why is dereliction an issue in some areas? And is it only a matter of time before someone is seriously injured or hurt by dangerous buildings? Well, our reporter Brian O'Connell has been investigating this. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Claire.
So are there lessons, or I'm sure there are lessons here too, for other cities in all of this?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Cork isn't unique because, this could apply to any other city in Ireland. If we pull back the focus on a macro level, we do have a derelict sites levy, which was increased to 7% in 2020. And this is obviously to try and tackle dereliction and vacancy. But despite this, as you said, issues persist. Now, the issue is particularly sensitive in Cork because in 1999, part of a building fell from Washington Street and it killed 20-year-old Aoife Bell and seriously injured some of those who were with her. Since then, and in recent years and months, while there is significant new development in Cork City, there have been several issues around older buildings in the city centre in places such as North Main Street, Tucky Street, and most recently on Liberty Street. And a number of portions of footpaths are closed currently in the city centre.
And you met a fascinating couple. They've moved back to here from living in mainland Europe and they've been keeping track of dereliction.
Yeah, while we've all been making sourdough during lockdown, this couple have been tracking dereliction in the city centre. Frank O'Connor and Jude Sherry, they work in urban sustainability and they lived outside of Ireland for many years, most recently in Amsterdam. So they moved back to Ireland, Clare, in 2018 to live in Cork city centre. And a couple of things struck them. One was how few people actually live in our city centres. And then the level of dilapidation and dereliction, often in older historic areas and in older buildings. And they set about documenting what they were seeing through a Twitter campaign. And then later they conducted a survey of 300 properties and the reasons why they were derelict or in poor shape. Now, we'll hear what they've done in a minute or two. But first, I took a stroll around Cork City with Frank and Jude, and they showed me the kind of issues they're trying to highlight, beginning on North Main Street.
You've got like five actual properties in a row here, going from the actually in gable and five properties up, and predominantly built between 1750 and 1840, and some of them have actually been crumbling for quite a good few years. We've looked back on Google Maps.
Back in 2009, the garters, support garters in the front of some of the buildings are still existing, but mostly that the buildings on the upper floors aren't being used. And unfortunately, what happened to these buildings in front of us is they actually collapsed in 2019. That whole side of the street was closed off and you couldn't walk along it. So it's quite depressing to see such key old buildings being left.
I suppose from our point of view, we'd love to see these buildings brought back to life.
So that was in the last year or two. Since then, we've had another event.
2 days ago?
Yeah.
The buildings right beside it on the end. We'll just walk up towards them now. Right beside the end gable building, parts of the building fell off again. So now there's that part of the footpath's cordoned off again. We can no longer access it.
And this isn't a side street. This is right bang in the city centre.
Absolutely. This is busy thoroughfare.
And you lived in Amsterdam, and Amsterdam's an old city. Would you have come across this in Amsterdam?
They have a very strict building controls and very strict vacant and dereliction controls. So you don't see derelict buildings in Amsterdam. But also they have very strict maintenance controls on buildings. So you have to work with the council owners to make sure that your building's kept up.
People want to live in the city centres in Europe. They want to live in the old historic parts. And they want to be part of that fabric. Whereas in Ireland, what we've realised is people want to move out of the city. Now, I suppose we're convinced from our work that people will move to the cities in the next 5 to 10 years.
So that clears North Main Street and then around the corner at a joint onto Liberty Street, and from there we walked past Washington Street where that tragedy struck in 1999. As I said, we went down Tucky Street onto Oliver Plunkett Street and we saw more buildings being supported from the street, more footpaths which were partly closed, and we also heard about an audit that Frank and Jude have done.
So we're in Tucky Street again in I suppose the old part of the city to a certain extent. We're just off the Grand Parade, and we're just close to a building that sadly collapsed or started to collapse. Maybe was it like a year and a half ago?
Yeah, just some time ago. You can see the the fabric, the front of the building has actually, you can see the crack all the way up it. Put up huge metal structures, closed off the footpath and put up huge metal structures to keep the front of the building up and standing.
An important message really is that the most sustainable building is the existing one. So you should always work with what you have. I mean, obviously before COVID, a few friends came over from the Netherlands as it happened, and they were quite surprised because we took them for a walk around. They were, I guess, quite surprised and didn't really understand why we didn't respect our buildings, you know. And it's a hard question to answer, you know.
Owners of dangerous buildings can be prosecuted, they can be fined.
I know both of you on Twitter are quite active and you're highlighting instances now.
Because we walked all over the world, so we came back here. And I suppose we fell in love with the city through Twitter. We started sharing images of derelict buildings. And from that then we've done a study of over 300 properties that are derelict in the city.
And what have you found?
Yeah, so we looked at all the publicly available information for over 300 buildings. So what we found is that there's a lot of myths around why derelict buildings are left derelict. And unfortunately those myths, they aren't true. So things like planning is holding back, rather than actually only 9% of the derelict buildings we found had planning refused on them, whereas over 70% of the buildings had let their planning go lapse. So planning wasn't actually being a barrier
so
to buildings getting
done. So what do you think is
happening?
Are people sitting on properties?
Some companies might be actually just sitting on and waiting for the value to increase. So what we would love to see is the council to set up a one-stop shop, so owners, especially in the historic core, can go to the council and ask for help.
It's great to think that they've taken it upon themselves, Brian, to map the dereliction. And they did mention there the work of the City Council. And you met with those in the council who are working to try and tackle this dereliction and dangerous buildings.
Yes, and interesting, while I've been on air, RT Archives are on the ball and they're tweeting me an article from 1984 where the city manager was calling for a tax on neglected properties. So you can see this is an intergenerational problem. Their survey and their work has given a good insight into the challenges, because no building is the same in terms of the reasons why it's lying idle. Now, some good news I heard from those working in the City Council is that there's a real interest in living above the shop, or looking at changing commercial buildings which may not be viable anymore back into housing. We visited, for example, a building on Shandon Street, idle for many years. It's now a really good housing development. There are issues around things like title, emotional attachment to buildings actually was something that we're coming across, and then obviously building costs is an issue. We're going to hear a little bit now from Erin O'Brien. She's a City Centre Coordinator with Cork City Council, and also Alison O'Rourke, who's a senior executive in the housing department. I asked Alison O'Rourke first if there is an up-to-date audit of buildings in disrepair within the City Council.
Being regularly done, you know, so it's not like we don't have an inspection regime or a constant ongoing inspection or proactive response to derelict sites that is taking place. You need to listen as well, and if stakeholders are raising the issue that there are sites out there not getting on the register, that's something that we're very aware of. And we are resourcing a unit in the City Council at the moment that will be cross-collaborating between building control and our derelict site section, and looking at things with the overall holistic view, as well as trying to find solutions with people.
Because sometimes it may fall between...
It could be derelict, not dangerous. It could be dangerous, not derelict. It could be a mixture of both, and it's something that we're putting together to prioritise the urban fabric.
We often just think that it's someone who's sitting on a building and speculating. That can be the case some of the time, but there's a lot of other reasons that people might have issues with their buildings as well. If you might be tied up in probate, or what was interesting in working in derelict sites, didn't realise how much emotional issues could come into buildings as well. Sometimes it can be very difficult to make a development stack up. I think a lot of disinvestment would have happened in Ireland in the past when people literally did not have money to do these buildings up.
Over the shop living is coming in now as an opportunity to us that we hadn't seen before, you know, so there's definitely opportunity out there, and people are seeing empty buildings that aren't in necessarily bad condition, but they want to bring people living into the city again. And
if I own a building in the city centre, and if part of that building is not maintained, if it's derelict, if it falls onto the street, we've had a number of instances of it, what can you do about it?
There's a toolbox of things. The Derelict Sites Register is the one that people would be most familiar with. From there, if it's on the register, you can charge a levy. From there, if no work is done, you can compulsorily acquire it. Now, I say that simply. It's not that simple in many cases, but it is a powerful tool, and it is one that we have been using.
So a bit of movement there in terms of a resource team, Brian, being put in place to tackle all of this. One way that it could have been helped or was meant to be helped was through the derelict site levy. Is that measure working?
Well, very interesting. As I said at the outset, the levy was increased in 2020 to 7%. Now, from those I've been speaking to, there are very significant issues in trying to actually collect the levy. I mean, there are very significant evasion rates, maybe as high as 70 to 80% I'm hearing in some areas. So in a sense, Claire, what's happening in reality is that levies owed on an individual property are simply being added on to the sale or the development price afterwards. I did speak with Green Party councillor Dan Boyle. He felt that the levy isn't working. He talked about how not using the upper floors has significantly led to dereliction. So that really is a cultural change, and perhaps it is changing. But what people like Dan Boyle are calling for now is a site value tax, or maybe a situation where the local authority can take equity stake in buildings that aren't being properly managed and then can set about repurposing them, maybe giving them a new lease of life and trying to preserve and rejuvenate the city centre. I've retweeted that RTE Archives story, actually, if anyone is interested.
Good stuff. We'll have a look. Brian, thank you very much. Brian O'Connell there. And coming up next on the programme, we'll be showing you how to up your picnic game.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.